This is Biz. I'm a part-time working mom with a big kid and a little kid.
And I'm Teresa. I have a family business, two young kids, and a baby.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, it's back to school. Grab your backpack full of unnecessary anxiety. Plus, Biz has a screamer, Teresa goes to the beach, and we talk to author, comedian, and actor Michael Ian Black.
Woo!
Once again, before we get into everything, let me throw an announcement out. You got to go to onebadmotherpodcast.com to get tickets for our August 26th LA show at the Bootleg Theater, guys. Doors open at 1. The show starts at 2. There's a bar. Also, for tickets to our October 14th live show in Brooklyn at the Bell House. Go now. Get your tickets. Bring some friends. Have a little meetup. We can't wait to see you.
You can even go by yourself.
I would always go by myself.
Lots of people go by themselves to this.
I know.
Because...
yeah.
You're not going to be alone.
Right.
That's right. You're just going to be there with a bunch of other people like you.
Yeah. you'll be our good time.
Yeah.
Teresa and I will be there with you.
Yes.
Teresa, you're with me now. How are you doing?
I'm not going to say okay this time because we talked about that last time. I'll say good.
Okay.
We went to the beach over the weekend.
That's fun.
It was amazing, actually. Like, I've been putting it off all summer. You guys know Biz and I live in Southern California. You probably imagine
there
if you don't
beaches.
Live here that we go to the beach all the time. We don't.
Mm-mm.
I live probably, I don't know, 15 miles from the beach, something like that, which doesn't sound that far, but with traffic, it takes a really, really long time.
15 miles in LA time is like an hour.
Hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes more.
Sometimes more.
Depending. Yeah. And then, like, once we get there, so, like, I've just been putting it off all summer because basically, like, it's just so much work.
Yeah.
Like, every time I go with the kids, it's so much work. And, like, Jesse is not a beach person. He is, like, willing to do it.
Right.
But, like, it's not fun for him. So that's always kind of hard because I feel like I'm, like, asking a favor of him. But then I'm doing a ton of work the whole time, too. And then, like, I could go with friends, but then they're bringing their kids, too.
Yeah.
So then it's, like, more, like, it's just hard. But we hadn't been in such a long time that, like... at the beginning of the summer, Grace had been asking a lot to go to the beach. And, like, every time she asked, I was like, no, not today, not today. No, 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 no. And then finally, she was asking so much, like, I felt really bad. And, I, you know, new baby, like, things are hard, whatever. I said, at some point, before the end of the summer, I will take you to the beach.
Right.
Because I thought that was buying myself a lot of time. It wasn't, as it turns out, because, like, the summer goes by really fast, and, like, we had a lot of stuff going on. So this was the last weekend of the summer, because, as we'll talk about today on the show, Grace starts school tomorrow. This is the first week of school in L.A. It starts really early. And so, anyways, I was putting it off, but, like, it ended up being totally amazing. We had such a great day, and I have that, I have, like, some good beachy splendor that, like, has stayed with me since being at the beach, you know? Like, the smell and, like, the sound of the ocean and just, like, it's almost just like being close to nature in a way.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, very close to nature.
So that's where I'm at.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Yeah, the beach is one of those things that is a lot of work, but whenever we do it, it's always, like, immediately great when we're there.
Right?
Like, it always is like, oh, beach.
Yeah.
Beach is amazing and awesome. Yeah. Good job. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Thanks. How are you?
I am good. This is actually Katie Bell's first day of school today, August 14th. Third grade. She's...
wow.
I know, guys. Time marches on. But before we marched into third grade, Katie Bell's birthday was a couple of weeks ago, which meant that we had to have her annual physical. Let's hear it for shots. So we had to go in, and Katie Bell was like, I can't wait to go to the doctor. I'm so excited about going to the doctor. Yeah, I don't know. She like, I love the doctor. And even if it's a shot, I don't care.
Wow.
So we go, and she's got to get like a polio vaccine, which is great. And like, I had a really great doctor this time who I was like, hey, we love vaccines. But she hadn't had a vaccine in a while because of her age, you know, a period where she's not getting them. And I can't remember if the polio one is one that may give her a mild fever or is going to hurt.
Yeah.
Right? I just want to know if I need Tylenol up my
kid. Like being prepared.
And she was like, she was so great. She was like, yeah, actually, this one does X, Y, and Z. And I was like, thank you for not assuming that I wanted to
boycott
vaccines.
Yes.
So I also bring up the stomach aches. As we all know, Katie Bell has had stomach aches for a long time, since she was four. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, we have linked them up to stress. We take them seriously. We try to, you know, sort of moderate what's happening in her environment to help with that. But at the same time, they're still going on. And sometimes they're in the morning and there's like a pattern and then there's not a pattern. And then when we were in Alabama, you know, like how you don't notice things until you're somewhere else outside of your own home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being in Alabama, I became like really aware how much she uses the bathroom.
Oh,
like she seems to go, what to other people seems to be enough that they should say, just so you know, she had to leave the table and go to the bathroom like four times during dinner.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, huh, I wonder if that's important to this whole thing.
It sounds like it could be.
So I tell this to the doctor and she's like, you know what? Let's just eliminate some stuff. We're going to have some blood work done.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And Katie Bell's like, well, what?
Yeah.
I said, blood work. And I take her through what it's going to be like. So first she gets that shot, which was no fun. And then we go down to the blood work and I am preparing her. Yeah. Like I become my own mother and I am telling her.
Is it like a pediatric blood work area or is it lab?
It's the lab.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's nothing cute.
Okay. Got it.
We have a great lab technician.
Okay.
Who's very nice.
That's good.
But we get in there and she was very good in the sense of she held her arm still.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then my child screamed. She screamed the entire time. She cried and she screamed the whole time. And I am sharing this story because she comes from a long line of screamers and yellers. And my mother said to me as a child, you're going to get your money's worth here. If you want to scream, you scream. We just don't hit the doctor. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
But you let people know that you are not enjoying this. And I told her the same thing and we got through it. But it was like such a deeply like, she did so good, and she was, I mean, she really, like, people
gathered
people
to make sure,
like, know that we were all, everybody knew what was happening. She was in the lab.
Okay.
No one, like, but, right. Everybody was, like, when she came out, they were, like, good job screaming.
Oh.
Like, people were really good, and, like, she got through it, and then, like, of course, 10 minutes later, I am, like, vomiting emotions, you know, in the front seat of the car where no one can see me vomit, like, the, like, stress of, like, I'm going to murder you for taking blood and helping my child.
Right.
But anyway, I just was like, I put that out there because I'm like, I know maybe somebody just needs to hear it.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like sometimes we can get wrapped up in we should be quiet during those things. I don't know. Getting your blood taken really fucking sucks sometimes for some of us.
Yeah.
And they clearly were having a hard time finding a vein on her.
Oh.
It was like a whole thing. And she did a good job, but she is also allowed to yell and scream.
Yep.
And no one can tell her or should tell you any different.
That's exactly right. Good job.
Yeah, I just...
It sounds like you guys both handled that really, really well.
2 points for Ellis, who was really good.
Was he there?
Yeah. Oh. Ellis had to be there the whole time. And, you know, Ellis is a clinger. And I said, Ellis, I really have to help your sister right now. I mean, I need you to stand here next to me.
Yeah.
And he did.
That's awesome.
He was really great. And then he comes up and he's like, Katie Bell, can I give you a hug? It's okay, Katie Bell.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It was very sweet.
Wow.
It was. Speaking of sweet, let's talk about all the fun stuff about getting ready for back to school.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Ms. and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Teresa.
Yes.
Back to school. I feel like I am currently in a place where I am the only person losing my mind when the following question is asked. I'll be out, like, in the world, running into people I haven't seen in a while from school or parents, and they'll say, oh, man, whew, I can't believe summer's almost over. I can't believe how fast it went. Oh, and they like they seem genuinely upset, and I'm like, I am so happy summer is over.
Mm.
I am so happy that school is back. I am looking forward to routine. I am ready to walk away from what's happening today. I don't know what's happening today. Anything could happen today. The looseness of summer is not my personal friend.
Yeah,
It is not my personal friend. And I give that as an example because what we're going to talk about today is not school itself, okay? It is not like what happens per se in school. It is not about teachers. Teachers are amazing, and I am so thankful for teachers. I am so amazing that there are schools available for our children to go to.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing their best.
Yes.
But that does not mean that you will find yourself the day before, the week before, the day of, whatever, as an individual, like myself, going, huh, why is that, like, stressing me out? Or why is that seem to be the only thing that I care about, right? Like, yeah. I feel like there's lots of this stuff that I'm hoping when we get through this, we'll point out that it's probably us. So let's get into it. Are you? I'll ask you, because a lot of the stuff that I think we're going to talk about stems from seemingly innocent questions,
right,
that we might ask each other as parents.
Yeah.
But then, like, stay, like, should I be?
Should I have?
What did I? Did I not read a thing? So, Teresa, I am going to set us up for a fail right here.
Okay.
Are you ready for summer to be over?
I'm really torn about this, actually.
Okay.
I'm pretty conflicted because on the one hand, I'm totally with you. I'm ready to have routine again. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to, like, get back into, like, things being normal.
Yeah.
And, like, especially with, like, the baby and Oscar as well, like, Grace's schedule kind of affects them and what they do. And, like, they all share a room. And there's just, I'm really looking forward to that routine.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I really don't like getting a child up that early and getting them ready for school. Like, that is really hard for me and, like, really not fun. And I'm not looking forward to that coming back into my life.
Right.
So, yeah. And, like, just, and the, like, you know, like with camp, it's sort of like, oh, you're late? Okay, who cares?
Yeah.
And like, there's never anything that's like required to bring, or like keeping track of stuff is not a thing.
Right.
So like, you'll find out from my fail later. I'm not like on top of my game as far as like remembering things and being on top of things right now. Like really a lot of things are slipping through the cracks. And so I'm a little bit like, oh God, I'm going back into like a situation where like, yeah, I have high hopes and everything, but like, I know that like some things are going to go wrong.
This is, okay, this is going to be so good. This is going to be so good for two reasons. One, because Teresa and I, this is a great one for us to be like, oh, let's all remind each other none of us are coming from the same place and what works in our houses.
Yeah.
Right? I got AM kids.
Right.
Right? Like, so I'm like, oh, whatever. I need to fill that 3 hours we're up starting at 5:30 in the morning.
I know. Grace likes to sleep till like 8 or 9.
Well,
if she can. So like, it's really,
This is baggage we all carry into the school year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this has nothing to do with school.
I know.
This has to do with us. Right? Okay. So that's great.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like to have the mirror turned back towards ourselves? Right. And two, we're going to talk some about this real thing about schedules in a second. Like that, so I think that's going to be good because that's like a real thing. Okay. But let's start with one of my favorite things that I get asked. And this could just be that I'm now third grade in to this. Okay. In the pre-K world, I think the question is something to the effect of, well, where are your child going to kindergarten? Right.
Right.
Which is like loaded with like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But now that you're a couple of years into elementary school, the question seems to become, if you run into a parent like right before school and everybody has their assignments already, whatever crazy system your school has about getting who your teacher is, I get this. This is the question. This is like, it's the what do you do for work question. It's the who'd you get? Who'd you get this year? And this is the one where I will get two the responses I get. They're like, who'd you get? And I will say the teacher who Katie Bell got this year. And let's be clear. This is who Katie Bell's teacher is. Not my teacher.
No.
She's not teaching me.
Right.
Who did Katie Bell get? And the response, I'll say, oh, hey, do you know anything
familiar?
About that teacher?
Yeah.
And the person will say, they'll, like, have this, like, look of, like, this hesitation.
Yeah. Like, what do I say?
Yeah, what do I say?
Do I need to be nice?
Do I need to tell this person that we didn't have a good experience with this teacher? Do I tell them we do have a good? It's really easy to be like, I loved that teacher.
Right? Yeah.
But the polite response that I get is, that'll probably be a really good fit for Katie Bell.
Oh.
And I'm just like, Do you mean she's like, this teacher is like very like structured and like, mm-hmm. you know, because if your kid doesn't do good in structure, mm-hmm. that's probably not a good fit for you, yeah. right? Katie Bell luckily thrives in structure. So this year, it has been anybody who looks at me like with a little fear when I say the teacher we've got,
yeah.
I know that's probably going to be great for Katie Bell.
Yeah.
But as the parent, I'm like, what does that mean? What does it mean? Well, my friend, her teacher is very like loose. It's very freestyle. You know, much more, mm-hmm. less structure.
Right.
Right? And so all those parents are like, oh, she's the best. Mm-hmm. While my friend's like, oh, my kid needs structure, mm-hmm. I think. But here's the thing, is we as parents aren't maybe 100% sure of how great that is going to be. Like,
we don't know.
We don't
That's
know.
That's the weird thing, yeah.
We can't it's, know. So yeah. I'm letting some weird, yeah. like, side-eye look
yeah.
from a person who is either dealing with their own baggage or had a unique situation happen.
Yeah.
Totally haunt my dreams.
Yeah, no, I get that. I feel like, you know, it's one thing if you're in a year where you've heard like, well, this one teacher is like amazing
yeah.
and this other teacher not so much.
Right.
But like right now, like for a lot of grades, like we're just lucky. We have a great school
yeah.
and like going into first grade, the word was all of these teachers are different and they're all great.
Yes.
Like no matter what. And so like I'm and it was the same for kinder. Like
yeah.
I didn't request a like they say you probably shouldn't anyway,
oh,
but you can.
Got a whole list of like don't even ask.
they say not to, but lots of people
yeah.
do. But I don't because I strongly feel that I don't actually know what's best for my child.
Like, that's a
do you
hard
know what
lesson
I mean?
To learn.
Yeah,
but
like,
that is true. This is one of those situations
yeah.
where you can let go
yeah.
for a second.
Yeah.
yeah,
absolutely, because you don't know what the group of kids is going to be
right.
like. You don't actually know how your child is going to relate with that teacher. You don't know what's to come for your child in the next year, what
Correct.
Changes they're going to go through. Like, I really enjoy surrendering to this one.
That's a like, good one to surrender to. And I feel like as parents, once I realized that, not, that like, what was happening, and I was also,
mm-hmm.
like, participating in this,
mm-hmm.
I would be like, I think the really the right response is, you know, I had the one or they're all good.
Yeah.
They're all different. They're all going to be great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to like stop those questions because it's so natural to be like,
right.
who'd you get?
Yeah.
Oh, what do you know about that person?
Right.
Because we are interested.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I really like your like, yeah, this is, I got no way of knowing what's right,
right.
for my child in
yeah.
this situation. And to go in super nervous about it
mm-hmm.
is going to taint it.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Oh, totally.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, great.
Great.
One anxiety item out of the backpack, crammed into the locker. All right. Do you have your school supplies yet?
You know what? I did something really stupid this year. I tried to buy them all at the grocery store. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. It was because I was near a grocery
yeah.
store and I didn't want, and it was my chance to do it.
Right.
And I didn't want to like drive all the way across town to Target because I wouldn't have time.
Yeah.
And I was remembering like the grocery store when I was a kid during back to school, they used to have like
a big,
you know how
yeah.
they do for like when it's Halloween, they
right.
have like a big Halloween section or
yeah.
whatever. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, they probably have that. Like, it might
yeah.
be like not as cheap as Target, but it's probably comparable, and
right.
it's they'll have everything. They had almost nothing. Like, they had this teeny tiny corner, and so then I ended up having to like order some stuff on Amazon. I mean, it was just really stupid. But
yeah.
guys, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't go to the grocery store to buy school supplies.
Ours is a great debate in which list is there a list that comes out before school, or is there not?
Mm.
So, like, there is a list that exists on our school website,
mm.
but that list has never changed
yeah.
in, like, the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And I have
that's
made
the
mistake. I know, it's not the list. And, like, I've made the mistake of buying the stuff on the list and then going in and they'll be like, you need a folder. And then you get there and
yeah.
it's like, it's a red folder.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's
well,
a plastic folder,
it's
not a.
Yeah. 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 There's yeah. very specific.
Yeah.
I have so many, like, unused folders because
yeah.
I bought them in advance, but they needed a certain color.
Yep.
And I'm like, and that's not, let me just be very clear, that is no one's fault
yeah.
at all. That is just, who's got fucking time to update that list?
Nobody looks
besides
at,
a volunteer.
Yeah.
I might
oh, right.
take that on this
yeah,
year
because, actually,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or just a note that says, wait till the first day of school.
Yeah.
So today we have bought nothing.
Oh.
We are going in first day of school
oh, nice.
With nothing. And I overhear some parents being like, where do you want all our school supplies? I was like, God damn it. Yeah. I was like, hi, Miss So-and-so.
Yeah.
Should we have gotten? Like, I don't know why. Suddenly I was like, should have my child have come more prepared for this, like, four-hour, half-day, fourth, you know, whatever. Yeah. And she was like, Alyssa's coming home. I'm like, I knew it.
By the way, I have no idea how long the school day is tomorrow.
Oh,
I
ours is half day because Mondays are. Oh, you know, yeah. Okay, let's. All right, good. So school supplies. I feel like is one of the and it's always. I also always find there's something on the list that we never use. Like, never. I'm like, but I would like to give a shout out to supply lists. Mm-hmm. If you've got an extra $10 or something, find out what the class needs. Mm-hmm. Usually it's like white paper, glue sticks, or whatever.
Paper towels.
Yeah, paper towels, Kleenexes. Yeah. I just now include that in my school supply list.
Yeah, little donation.
A little donation of supplies.
Yeah.
So, school supplies, let it go. You're going to be fine. We got two things left on our anxiety list. One is communication. So here's my question about communication. Does it count as bad communication from your school if you don't read anything?
Pretty sure that one's on you, I guess.
Oh, school is back. And here comes all the information. Yeah. For example, we got a handbook that came out. And I'm not going to derail on my personal issues with the formatting of how that handbook came out and some errors. But I'm going to focus on the actual communication thing. We got it. I read it. Mm-hmm. I'm a reader. And then every parent I talked to the rest of the summer was like, I didn't get it. And then I was like, really? And then they would like, I was like, it's like a huge attachment. And it's like the handbook for the whole year. There's a lot of stuff. They've made some changes. There's like dress codes changed. Like all this shit's changed. And they're like, I didn't get it. And then like, let me look. And then they, every single one looked in their email and found it.
And found it.
Found it.
Wow.
Right. Like, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
That's us. And even I, as a good reader and sometimes the writer of such emails, don't read them. You know what I mean? Like, they'll come and I'll be like, I'll go back and I'll check it tomorrow. And then, like, because I feel like there is an anxiety of, like one of the things that came out our email, it was sent, there was a phone call, there was several emails, and that was letting you know that there's no longer parking allowed in, like, on this one street at the school on Mondays. You're not legally allowed to park there anymore. It was full.
Right.
It's totally full.
Oh, yeah.
So totally full.
Right.
So you're like, and people yelling, well, hi, I didn't know.
Right.
So like that seems like a stress that it's on us, but it's a stress. How are you with communication?
Because I see what you mean. I think sometimes it just feels like there's so much information.
There's so much,
that sometimes it's easy to feel like, well, if it was something really important, I would find out in another way, too. You know, like, I can't, like, if, do you know what I mean? Like,
there'd
if
be three
really,
emails, not
yeah,
one.
Yeah, like, if it's, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, I know. Like, yeah, I get it.
And then because it's a school community, like, there's lots of parents around.
Yeah.
You also sort of figure somebody's going to be, like, I like, you know, they posted, like, classroom assignments and, like, the end of the day, Friday. And I just, like, was about to drive there, but then I was like, I think I'm just going to go on Facebook and see if somebody took a picture and, like, posted it. Because somebody's up there.
Right.
Somebody's up there looking at it. You know what I mean? Like,
symbionic communication.
It's a little bit,
Well,
I feel like there's other people here. Like, someone will help me.
Right. Okay, fair enough. That's fair. Right? That is fair. I am usually the person who is, like, that
helper. Right.
Right? So I feel like with communication, you're right. There's either too much, and in some cases, there is too little. And then my favorite that keeps me up at night is when none of the communication matches. Like, there's disagreement within two groups trying to tell you information about the same day.
Yep.
And you're like, which one am I supposed to read? So that can prove stressful.
Yes.
And it's
especially when like one of those groups decides we should tell people 15 minutes earlier than it's actually happening just to get people to be there on time and the other group doesn't decide that.
Yeah.
And then you have two different times.
Two different
that
times.
Things are supposed to happen.
I know. So school, not a place to expect the most amazing in terms of communication.
But that's also, sorry for interrupting, but that's a good example of like why we should not be stressing out.
Exactly.
Hardcore,
we should let it go. You're either,
we're going to figure this out together.
You're either a reader or you're not a reader. Mm-hmm. Okay. You are either.
Or a skimmer.
You're a skimmer.
Yeah.
Or you're a, I promise I'll remember this. Or you are a, I have so much going on, it's going to slip. Mm-hmm. We're going to fall into all those categories.
Yeah.
Sometimes we will rotate. Mm-hmm. Through those different categories, maybe the goal should just be not trying to allow ourselves to get angry about it.
Sure.
Right? Like, I feel like anger can come out of, like,
I
didn't know we were supposed to have this.
Yeah.
As opposed to, maybe I just fucking missed it.
Right. Yep.
There's your field trip money.
Yep.
Right?
It's a little bit like you and me, like, all summer, like, messing stuff up.
Oh,
like, I never got upset when you messed up because I was like, I'm messing. Like, I'm sure I'm messing up.
Correct.
You know, like, and it's kind of like that with the school stuff, too. It's like, I'm not going to freak out about the supplies.
Right.
You know, and I'm not going to.
Well, like, I'm mad that you're formatting and some of these links are totally wrong in this handbook.
Yeah.
You still gave me a lot of good information in this handbook.
Totally.
Right?
Like everybody's trying
their best.
Yeah.
That is, is really a great, this is a great school of trying your best lessons.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing we're going to talk about, and I think we touched on it at the very beginning, and that is just, I got to get who, what, where, when. There is something about the stress, and I think this actually falls into a real stress, which is that it's hard to let this one go away.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got kids at multiple schools, especially as like, your first one's in school, that's great. If you have more, suddenly they have to go to a school of some kind. I spend 30 minutes in the morning going back and forth to these two schools with the kids. And in the afternoon, it's even longer.
Oh, yeah. It's an hour
in
the morning
for
us. Yeah. And then in the afternoon, it's longer than an hour.
Yeah, even longer. All the different drop-offs and pickups.
Yeah.
Plus, if you've got kids that sleep late, this is a real struggle, right?
Yeah.
It's not a good time.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's also just like today for us, it was like everybody had to walk their kids in. So even if you showed up on time, you may have been parked like
really far away.
Really far away.
Yeah.
Right? Like I heard this one kid being like, are we late? And mom's like, no, we're not. And I'm like, well, yeah, but it's not your fault. You know what I mean? Like you're not. She's right.
Yeah.
You're going to
you're
that
fine.
Classroom.
Yeah.
You're fine. But like that's a harder one, I think, to deal with. Is just getting back into the routine of school. As much as I am looking forward to it, it doesn't mean that's easy. Like,
totally.
Like you were saying.
Totally. And I hate rushing my kids. And I'm not saying I don't, because I totally do.
Right.
But like, I hate rushing them. And then I hate how even sometimes when my kids actually do a pretty good job, like considering their ages and what they're capable of, they actually do a pretty good job. But I'm running late.
Yeah.
And so then I have to like... I kind of get snippy and I'm like rushing them and it's not their fault. Like it's totally kind of more my fault.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But they're kind of like suffering from, like I'm trying to be nice about it, but like if I'm rushing and I'm irritated because we're going to be late, like, you know what I mean?
No,
it's just
I know.
Not a good feeling.
There's nothing relaxing about getting out of the house.
No.
I just don't think anybody's nailed that yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was really great at getting out of the house when I lived alone by myself without children.
Mm-hmm.
I was the best.
Man.
At getting out of the house, guys.
Yeah. It's never been something I've been strong at.
But even then, not everybody is. I know.
Yeah.
Oh, ding, ding, ding. School, school, school. I guess the good news is technically it is not us who is back in school.
That's right.
A special shout out to those schools
and
all those people taking care of our kids during the day.
Yeah. And teaching them.
And teaching them in ways that we don't have in ourselves. Yay!
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Third Love. When it comes to bra shopping, it's all about finding the right fit for you. Third Love uses thousands of real women's measurements and super smoothing memory foam to create bras that fit better and feel great. They're available in sizes AA through G, as well as half cup sizes. You can try a Third Love bra for free for 30 days.
I love my Third Love bra. It is my official favorite go-to t-shirt bra. So go to thirdlove.com/badmother now to find your perfect fit and try it for free for 30 days. That's thirdlove.com/badmother.
Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time, Teresa. Genius me.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
We had to get here a little early today, and so I sort of arranged things so that Jesse would wait for the babysitter, and I got out the door earlier than usual, and I was super hungry, and I had a couple extra minutes, and I figured out that I could order curb service from a restaurant right near our office.
What?
And I just pulled up, I called as I was driving away from Oscar's preschool and just called ahead, and they made me scrambled eggs and bacon. And I just pulled up and paid for it, and they passed it in my window.
Shut up.
And I had a delicious breakfast like a grown up.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. So, end of summer. This weekend, this past weekend, was the big Perseids meteor shower that comes every August. And Ellis, not only did Ellis really want to do, we're members at this pool, and we always go first thing in the morning because it's empty and easy. And Ellis has been like, I want to have dinner at the pool. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, great. And then we had talked about the meteor shower at some point. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I want to stay up and see a meteor shower. And I was like, okay, you know what? Big summer blowout. We're going to do it.
Okay.
Go to the pool, have dinner, do marshmallows. Hold on, you guys have a little fire pit and stuff. Then we're going to go home, bathe, put on pajamas, and we're going to hang out outside all night.
Great.
Okay. Here's the thing. It was very hard work.
Yeah.
It was not the most fun for me.
Right.
But the genius is just that we did it. This is not something I would normally have done. I would have been like, nope, everybody's going to bed.
Yeah.
You know, like we're not a stay up later house.
Yeah.
Ellis was so excited. Aww. His voice is totally raspy right now because he was just like, I'm outside. And he didn't see like a shooting star because he never laid down once to even look. He was just like, I have to run around everywhere like all night. And we got them both to bed without any problem. Like overall, it was a success.
Good job.
Thank you.
I have a genius for you. I recently turned our kids' cribs into toddler beds. And it didn't work out. So I turned them back into cribs. Isn't that genius? I went backwards. You're all doing a great job. Bye.
Hold on. This is so good.
Yes, it is.
Has anybody ever done that before?
I don't know.
That's amazing.
Right?
Yes.
It's so good.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, wow.
It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
It's like an onion that you're just peeling off the different layers of how good this is.
This is so good.
On a shallow top layer,
this
is just about, fucking put the crib back together.
Yeah.
But the deeper layer is like, they weren't ready. And I didn't get mad at myself.
Yeah.
Or worry
it would be confusing or like
I just fucking
wrong.
Did it.
Or, and it's the right thing to do.
It
your
was
family.
So good.
It's so good.
It was so good.
Oh, I love it so much.
May your children live in cribs until they're in college.
Yeah.
So good. Failures.
Fail, 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 fail.
You suck.
Fail me, Teresa.
So on beach day, as we were hanging out down by the water, I'm like, okay, I got to pull out my phone and take some pictures of this adorableness right now. Couldn't find my phone. We had like many bags and I had the Ergo and I had like lots of it. And I was like, I know I have it, but I can't find it.
Right.
So then I just like placated myself by going like, well, it must just be in the car. That's fine. It's probably just in the car. But
right.
The car was like really far away at that point. So I was like, whatever. Not going to go back for the phone. I'm just going to don't remember leaving it in the car, but I'm just going to assume it was
sure
in the car.
There.
So we get back to the car. I'm like nursing the baby. And this is like 5 hours later that we're back in the car. I'm nursing the baby before we leave. We have like the AC running. And then I say to Jesse, like, I don't see my phone. Will you call my phone? And he calls it, and the Bluetooth comes on. So that means the phone must be in the car somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So I keep looking for the phone, don't find the phone. Finally, like, baby done nursing, put the baby in the car seat. We're about to drive away. I'm like, this is just so weird. Oh, well, I guess I'll, like, unpack it later. I start to get in the car, and I see it, guys. It's not only on the roof of my car, but it's on like dangling on the crossbars on the roof of my car.
Oh my
like
gosh.
It's just not even, I mean, it's just
ready
it's
to
just
fall off.
Totally ready to fall off. And also just so visible
yeah.
from for anybody in the parking
yeah.
lot who wants a phone. and also really hot.
Yeah.
Because it had been sitting there for five hours in the middle of the heat.
That's one of those things where had you driven off
yeah.
and not known,
yeah.
you would just never know where your phone ever was.
I would just never know what happened.
I'm going to derail with a similar story. I come back from Portland. I drive here that Monday to work in my car. Tuesday, I take the kids to the pool in my car.
Mm-hmm.
We come out from the pool Tuesday. It's 100,000 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm putting stuff in the car. And I'm like, what's that on the roof of my car? And it's Stefan's good camera.
Whoa.
Not only had that camera been on my roof driving to the pool, it had made it all the way from Pasadena into Los Angeles.
Whoa.
And it just like had been stuck in between.
Yeah,
and I just picked it up. I just picked it up. It wasn't like it was wedged.
Yeah.
It just had made it on the freeway. and it works. But again, I was like, if we had not seen this, we just would never know where your camera went.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, that is a real big thing to take in. You would never know where it was. All right. This is a fail that goes against everything we just talked about at the beginning of during the show. So, a new dress code or a stricter dress code has been set up in our school. I am not a fan of dress codes, everybody. Just going to put that out there. Just that me personally.
Sure.
In the past, it has been solid color t-shirt or school t-shirt and obviously some sort of pants or skirt or whatever. But those have never been like dictated. They could be striped, they could be whatever. I didn't see that now they wanted the bottoms to also be solid until, I don't know, 10 o'clock last night. And I had read everything several times.
So, like, no patterns?
No patterns. No stripes. No nothing.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm not, like, super pumped about this. Maybe something I bring up with coffee with the principal.
Yeah.
But anyway, I, like, go to help Katie Bell pick out her outfit before I knew about the bottom half.
Mm-hmm.
And first I realized, it's the end of summer. We have one solid color t-shirt.
Yeah,
we have one.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
And I had ordered some stuff online a week ago, being like, oh, okay, we'll get some solid color stuff. That'll be great, because remarkably hard to find. And then I realized we have no pants. She has not a single pair of solid color pants. And so then I let that like stew me all night long. I'm like on the ACLU's board. I'm like, do I have to follow a dress code at public school? And then I'm like, do I have to now go buy a whole new fucking wardrobe of boring clothes for my child who like expresses herself through her clothes? I'm not sure what the answer is, guys.
Wow.
Stay tuned for more things from Coffee with the Principal this week. Anyway, yeah, I just was like, oh my God, how do we not have anything remotely suitable?
It would be hard for us too.
Yeah.
Ew.
Hi, this is a fail, a real big literal self-care fail. I got to work yesterday and I've been feeling okay, and then I got to work, checked my emails, and there were a few sort of things I sort of needed to deal with urgently, and I suddenly started panicking and I felt awful. I thought I was gonna have a panic attack and I had to go and sit in another room and try really hard not to cry and calm myself down and do some deep breathing. And I thought, What the hell is going on? Why do I suddenly feel like this? This is totally just come out of the blue. And then I realized, hang on, I haven't taken my anti-anxiety medication for about 5 days. That would probably do it, because I'm due to collect a new prescription from the doctors And I've just been putting it off and thinking, oh, I'll be fine another day. I'll get it tomorrow, or I'll do this thing that's more important first. And it turns out I can't go 5 days without it. So, yeah, that just felt like a real literal self-care fail. Anyway, I've got it now, and I've started taking it again, obviously, and I'm all set up for a good day. So thank you. Bye.
This is real.
Yeah, like, I can see this happening.
This is
too.
This is like me a long time ago, birth control pills. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'll get it.
I'll just take two one day. And
I'll take two one day.
It
doesn't matter. Right, yeah. That's how science works. But this I could see happening like all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like even when you're sick and it's just like a regular antibiotic prescription, that's the kind of thing where if that pharmacy is not in that same building, that's really hard to go and like make the time to go get. I can remember like being so frustrated hauling like the kids back and forth to go pick up a prescription and like the way, like it's real. I think that is an easy thing to let slip. And it is a fail because you need that.
Yeah.
You need that to be well and be happy and safe and good and all those things. So good job getting it.
Yeah.
Very good job getting it. And it's kind of a fail. So kind of bad job not taking really good care of yourself like you fucking deserve.
But fails are how we learn.
That's right. We are learning. Do not feel anxious about this fail. You're doing a good job.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Blue Apron. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals.
I love to cook, but it turns out trying to do anything more than dump a jar of sauce in a pan is all my brain can handle with a 3 and an 8-year-old, you know, kneading stuff. Blue Apron sends me everything I need, fun recipes to try, and easy prep work that I actually have gotten the kids involved in.
So check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/badmother. That's blueapron.com/badmother.
Teresa.
Yes.
Let's call a parent.
Great.
This week we are calling Michael Ian Black, who is a comedian, actor, writer, director, basically has had every job you can have in the entertainment industry. He is probably best known as McKinley from Wet Hot American Summer and the latest reboot, Wet Hot American Summer First Day of Camp. He has been in many other shows such as Ed from the early aughts or more recently The Jim Gaffigan Show. And what people might not know is that in addition to his comedy and acting career, Michael is an esteemed children's book author. He has written 6 of them, and the most recent of which came out last year and is called A Child's First Book of Trump. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are very excited to have you on. Before we get into everything that's happening, let's start with who lives in your house?
My wife and my 2 kids and a dog and a cat and a temp dog.
A tenth dog?
Yeah, we have a temp.
A temp dog.
Yeah.
I mean, the dog will always be a dog. It's not temporary in that sense, but it's temporarily with us.
Well, this obviously the next question is, which do you love more?
between whom? All of those
just
things?
All of the things living in your house.
Right now, I have a fondness for the temp dog.
Yeah, there's something about it being temp. The lack of permanence. How old are your kids?
16 and 14.
You've got teens. Sweet, sweet teens, which could derail me in this entire show. Teresa and I both have young kids. I got a 3rd grader and somewhere around the 3-year-old.
Somewhere around three.
I don't count till I get to school. 3 forever. And Teresa's kids, Grace just turned 7.
6.
6.
And then Oscar's 3 and a half, and then we have a baby.
So we like to imagine what the sweet, sweet teen years will be, and I'm pretty sure they're totally easy.
It's been easier than I thought it would be.
Oh, that's good. Actually, that is a question that I have. Sometimes we ask our guests, what did you think being a parent was going to be like versus like what you got? Or did you just nail it? Was it exactly what you thought? And that includes these teen years.
Well, I didn't necessarily have any expectations of what parenting would be like as a whole. I can tell you that when they were little, it was shittier than I thought it would be, I guess. It's really terrible.
Yeah.
But now it's much easier because they don't want to hang out. So I don't have to see them very much.
What was shittiest about the early years?
The colic. They both had colic. Oh. So they were crying all the time. And then just the amount of actual parenting I had to do,
yeah,
which I didn't care for.
Yeah, that's turned out to be harder than any of us expected.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah, and no one cares.
No, nor should they.
Well, true. Though one of these days we'll all wander into that very specific cocktail party where people are super interested.
I think this conversation right now is that cocktail.
It is. I agree. Sadly, this early in the day, we're too tired to even have that amazing cocktail. Morning cocktails. All right, let's get started with talking about the recent thing that's happening with you, which is the new Wet Hot American Summer 10 Years Later series on Netflix. Hooray.
Yeah.
We are all very excited about that. Where in the new one, you and your partner who you married in the original movie are back with a baby. And if you have not seen the very first episode yet, everyone, you are missing Michael embodying what I consider the essential, I should not ever put my baby down again. And it's no big deal that I am about to start embracing my I love coming second persona in the most endearing of ways. And my favorite example is where you're holding your daughter and your husband comes up and says, here, let me hold her. And then he just immediately passes her off to the nanny. And now my husband and I were like on the floor with that scene. It was pretty much nailed it. And so my question is, who are you getting the inspiration for this? Was this more you or was this more your wife in real life or some combination of or none of?
In terms of being very protective?
Yeah, being who you are in this, being this McKinley.
Oh, I'm... I was much less protective probably than my wife, because I would have handed the babies off to any stranger at any time, even if I knew they were going to take the babies forever. I was like, yeah, great.
You're going to be disappointed when you take this baby forever. It's not what you thought. It's a lot of work. All right, books. The children's books. Why do we think that is, that not as many people know? Because you've got a lot of children's books, and we're big fans of Naked in particular, which is a reality in our house
right,
all the time. And being Southern and Catholic raised makes me deeply uncomfortable. But my Swedish husband's like, yeah, let's be everybody be naked. But you've also written, you know, I'm going to, I guess, call adult books, but that sounds weird.
Right. It sounds like erotica.
It does. It sounds like erotica. But let's talk about the children's books. Do you like writing those more than things geared towards adults? And
well, it's easier.
Is it? Do you find that easier?
Oh, yeah. It's so much easier. I mean, a whole children's book is maybe, what, 50 words, 100 words?
But doesn't that put, like, more pressure on those words? Or can you just, like, shit on a page and put
absolutely
a cute picture
not
on it and send
no
it out?
Not even a little bit.
Just not even, like, remotely.
Nowhere in the same ballpark.
Wow. So, like, your editor at the Children's is like, great, another one. Go ahead.
Yeah, pretty much. And what's nice is I can write one and then, you know, give it to my editor and have him be like, I don't think so. And me will be like, all right, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because it only took me 90 minutes to write.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Well, what about, okay, we've got the new one out, a child's first book of Trump. And I guess, you know, I was kind of taking a look at it online. And I guess my question is this really for kids or adults? And how young is too young to start learning about Trump?
Well, it was never really intended for children. I mean, it was always intended for adults. Consequently,
however,
it took much longer to write than a normal children's book.
Right.
But surprisingly, I have found that a lot of parents are reading into their children because it reads, I mean, it's meant to read like a children's book, and it does read like a children's book, and it looks like a children's book. But the Trump in it is sort of this Seussian monster, and it reads very well, just like if you don't know, if the kid doesn't, and why should they know who the actual monster is,
right.
They just hear about this sort of goofy Trump in the book, and I think it's funny for them and works well just as a children's book.
So it's like, this is how we're going to start. Poor Katie Bell, my poor 8-year-old, gets a less fun version
from you.
From me.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, is it time for another lecture, Mama?
I held off on even saying his name for as long as I possibly could.
You couldn't bring it
into
the
house. Now that my 6-year-old is, she'll say Trump, just hearing it come out of her mouth makes me sick, but like now that she says it, now that this is something that I need, because we might as well
embrace it.
Yeah,
with a jaunty.
Oh, she'll like it.
Yeah. It is very Seussian, which is pretty perfect.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I mean that was the idea. It was meant to be satirical, and as a result, I wrote it in a Seussian manner, which is not my normal style by any means. But because it was meant to be parody, it just seemed like the right way to do it.
Well, maybe this is a start of a whole new political series of children's books.
I don't think so.
No.
I actually wrote one the weekend after he was elected. I was writing a new one, and I sent it to my editor, and he's like, yeah, it's just not funny anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you're right. It really isn't.
I know, right?
It's just not funny.
Ugh. Yeah, because you wrote this one before.
I wrote it before he even got the nomination.
Yeah, so, which is crazy, crazy foreshadowing.
Well, I kind of knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, I know. Mm.
So I wasn't being particularly prescient.
Well, let's talk a little bit sort of about political involvement. Maybe you can give us some sort of sage advice. You are pretty politically active on Twitter, and not like in a pop in and out way. I mean, you are there, involved and funny and insightful. And I guess the best thing I can sort of compare this to for myself is, you know, I do our school carnival at the elementary school. And like
comparing Twitter to a school carnival is actually pretty good.
Pretty spot on. And if I run in, like, there's always like a parent who's got like a differing opinion on what should take place at this fucking school carnival that's just supposed to be fun.
Right.
And I'm always surprised that like, no matter like how like well I get through it, I take it home. You know, like I sometimes take it home. It takes me a little while to work it out of my system and get going back to being a sane person again. And like Twitter doesn't do that. Twitter, it's really hard for me to get on Twitter. I find myself really hard to separate or not take some of the stuff that happens on Twitter home. So I'm wondering, as somebody who is so involved, are you able to separate that when you walk in the, you know, or when you put your phone down and look at your kids? You've got older kids. Is it not as like hard to put up with the responses that are out there and the garbage that's out there as a parent?
As a parent, it's not hard at all. It took me, I would say, a little while once I started getting more politically engaged online. It took me a while to just sort of develop a thicker skin about it.
Yeah.
And particularly when all the anti-Semitic stuff was first happening, which I hadn't expected nor ever experienced before. And it wasn't so much that I felt personally hurt by it, because I didn't, but I felt just kind of surprised and shocked that it was happening.
Yeah.
That it was so explicit and blatant, and not because it was happening to me, but because it was happening to so many people. That was really surprising to me. But I don't think I've ever really had a hard time. I don't think it's infected my domestic life in any way.
Yeah, you're not like coming home and being like, I'm never letting anybody out of the house, or like, how are we all going to survive and develop as a society?
No, I didn't add that, but nor do I think we're going to survive or develop as a society.
Well, oh, good. So maybe it's just the grim acceptance.
More or less.
Will help us get through it. Do you, are your teens politically active at this point? I mean, do you guys have these discussions, and or is this something that's unique, like, sort of like, this is what I like to do. I don't expect it from my kids. And
oh, no, we talk about it all the time. But yeah. I don't think any kid can help but be affected by their parents' politics.
I
think one way or another. I mean, you're either going to develop some opinion about it. You're either going to accept it or you might reject your parents' politics altogether. And I felt like when my kids first started becoming kind of aware of what was going on, that I wanted to avoid biasing them as much as I could. And so my son, I guess, is probably more attentive to it than my daughter, but he might say something, a kind of blanket statement about a certain political party, and I would challenge him on it, even if I agreed with him, because I just didn't want to bias him, and I wanted him to sort of develop his own opinions to the extent that he was able to. I mean, I just think it's hard when you grow up. I think it's hard for any kid to grow up with independent thought. You just can't. Everybody's born into biases. But I'm hoping that just in asking the questions, they're inspired to do a little bit more work on their own about what they believe and why they believe it.
Oh, if we can all just cross our fingers on that, right?
Except that now my son's a white supremacist.
Well, too late.
Yeah.
too late. Oh, well, you still have your daughter.
I feel really bad now that I didn't give him more of my biases.
You should just walk away from him at this point and totally wash your hands of it and then be super surprised later. All right, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to, everybody needs to make sure they're, if you have not already gone and totally binged Wet Hot American Summer 10 years later on Netflix, you should do that. Just put the kids somewhere else. They'll survive.
They might actually just be in the same room with it and not realize that it's a show for grown-ups, and it might be totally fine.
Yeah, that's like 90% of like television watching, right? Like they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a few words.
But they won't know what those words mean.
But they're going to learn them anyway, so might as well learn them now.
Sure.
I had Showtime when I was 8 years old. I watched 9 to 5 a number of times. It's all good. Everything is clear for me. And also, we're going to link everybody up to all of his children's books. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Brainwaves, send a message, pick up the phone. When you like call.
The three of you enter a cave of a big red dragon and is standing over a hoard of precious golden rubies. And he says, "What do you do, adventurers? I'm a dragon man."
I cast fire on him. It's very good.
I address the red dragon and say, "Us, we're the hosts of The Adventure Zone, a podcast about family playing Dungeons & Dragons."
Very good synergy. Commit to the bit.
I roll to charm new listeners. It is very effective, against all odds.
Everybody, we're the McRoys. We host the Adventure Zone, a podcast where we play Dungeons & Dragons together. It's a comedy podcast. We don't take the rules too seriously because there's a lot of them and we did not take the time to learn them. Maybe listen to us. We come out every other Thursday on the Maximum Fun Network. You can find us on iTunes or on MaximumFun.org. I think this promo is a critical hit.
Hey, Max Fun fans. It's me, Jesse, the owner of Maximum Fun. I've got a question for you. Will you help us make our shows better? We wanted to find a way to find out what the Max Fun community thinks about our shows. So we started something called the Max Fun Listener Panel. Basically, you subscribe to a podcast feed and twice a month or so, roughly speaking, we'll send you an episode of a show and instructions on how to fill out a quick survey about what you think about that show. 10 questions. Nothing too crazy. You'll be hearing existing shows that we're thinking about making changes to. Secret pilots of shows that we're developing that you'll only hear this way. Shows we're considering adding to the network. And what you think about them really matters to us. So, to join the panel, it's easy. Just go to MaximumFun.org/listener panel. That's MaximumFun.org/listener panel. Thanks for helping make Max Fun better.
That was so fun.
So fun.
And really, actually, nice, because we, you know, obviously, I think I've made it very clear on the show that I have difficult conversations with my kids about the goings-on in the world. And I really kind of do think what he said was important about, we all have our biases, but making sure that we teach our kids to be questioners, to ask questions, and to be critical thinkers is really important.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, that was great. You know what else is great and can get us thinking critically? Is listening to a mom have a breakdown.
This is a rant. So why is it that I can get up in the morning and skip my workout so that I can, you know, get everything together and be ready for my freaking kids to be up and still be late to work because people spill milk all over, people mess up their lunches, people forget their motherfucking shoes at home, and you have to run around trying to find shoes, and thank God there were some water shoes at daycare. I just want to be able to get up and get out of my house in the morning without it being a fucking disaster. Thanks, guys. Bye.
This is a good one for this week.
I really thought so, right? Like, this is... It is impossible to get out of your house.
It's so hard.
It is.
I can't believe we do it every day.
It's remarkable.
It's really amazing,
It's sort of
amazing,
like the cooking
guys.
The dinner every day. We're like, I can't believe I'm giving
food every day.
We do that every
day. Like, it should be enough.
Yeah.
That should be enough for the whole day. Like, that should be, what are you going to do today? Oh, I'm going to get my kids out of the house. I'm gonna
and then
get
myself.
Up. I'm going to get up and get everyone ready, and we're going to go.
Go out to wherever
and
we're supposed
enough,
to go.
And that's enough, period.
Everything else can fall the fuck apart today.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't need to be, like, winning at anything else. But this is the one chore I have, the challenge of the day.
Yeah.
When we have somebody, we're going to have some people on talking about homeschooling this year. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty excited about it. But that is going to be, like, what's your morning?
Yeah, I'm curious
I'm
that.
Assuming there's got to be the similar thing, getting kids just ready to, like, shift into learning.
Right.
Right? I feel like almost it would be almost worse because they'd be like, screw that.
Right.
I'm at home.
Yeah.
But, like, that frustration of, like, last night I was trying to get some work done after the kids. I put the kids down. Good night. I love you. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. The whole thing. And I go sit down and I start working. Mama!
Right.
I need a battery for this thing that's in our room that lights things up.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we do it tomorrow?
Yeah.
No!
Are you crazy, Mom?
Yeah, but the battery. Okay. Back down. Sitting down. Working. Here I go. Mama!
Yeah.
I need a battery. For this other thing. It's like, are you for fucking real? I don't say that. I say, okay, I love you. Yeah. And then I come out and I march around the house going, why can't I ever get any work done? Why don't you ever work, Elizabeth? I don't know. I'm always constantly getting, I have battery getter on my tombstone. I can never, like, complete a task because five tasks pop up. And Stephen goes, who's talking to you in this scenario?
Mm-hmm.
It's like my inner voice, angry Biz, is who's talking to me.
Yeah.
Biz who wants to walk out of the house without milk on me, with everybody having their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is. There, and you talked about it at the beginning, that anxiety of, like, even if everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, but you are then running late, that anxiety just vomits out all over the place. I feel like there should be a bell that you ring when you come out of the house if you've successfully done it without a problem.
Like, or hit a button.
Yeah.
Like,
and, like,
I did it.
Confetti falls down and, like, balloons and somebody hands you a giant check.
Yeah. Like, a big piece of cake.
Big piece of morning cake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that would be, like, of all the things that no one gives a shit about what you do as a parent.
Yeah.
I do feel like there should be a special set of high five and reward system set up for getting out of the house.
Yes.
Yeah. I just,
Yeah.
Listen, you're doing a really good job.
Yeah, you are.
And you are not alone.
No.
And that your morning routine is a shit show.
Yeah, we're all doing that pretty much at the same time.
That is why don't be surprised when you're dropping kids off if other parents aren't like, hey, how's it going? And everybody just looks crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, because they just did what you had to do. And you're doing remarkable. Teresa, what did we learn today? We've learned a few things. And that is, school's going to happen every year. Mm-hmm. And we have to send our children off to it. And that is a good thing. And there's a lot of opportunity for them to have amazing experiences on their own without us.
Yeah.
Right?
True. Yeah.
And like supplies and like who had who last year and who, you know, did you walk in the door right on? All of that really is secondary to the fact that your kids are getting a chance to go and be independent on their own and learn skills that are really remarkable that they're just not going to get if they were with us all the time.
Right.
Okay? And possibly that is maybe at the root of all the anxiety is we want everything to go really great for our kids. Mm-hmm. And the only way we could guarantee that to happen is if we control everything that happens in their lives, like the right fucking school supplies. Right? Like, that's actually not what's going to do it.
Right. That's so true.
It really is. And so this is their experience. And our job is to step back and support them when they need support. Maybe that's it. And to act when we are given instruction to act from our school. Mm-hmm. Maybe to read an email once a month that comes home from the PTA, a room parent, or the school. That's
either
good.
Answer the phone or read
an email. One of the two. Yeah. Or if you're going to be a somebody will tell me, ask.
True.
You got to also ask.
Yeah, what's
you
happening?
You can't just stand there.
Right.
Like wait for information to come to you. You got to choose one of three ways to be active.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's all going to work out.
Yeah, it is.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. We also learned that Michael Ian Black is a delight.
Yeah, we already knew that.
We already knew that. Barely a takeaway. And finally, we learned that getting out of the house is a fucking shit show. That should just be the name of the next show we do. Getting out of the house is a shit show. We'd actually like to just now take a little moment. Again, this is a timeless show. You can come in on these shows anytime in your life. And that's what we want, these to be sort of timeless. But as is the case, sometimes there are things that happen in our world that are timely, that we feel just need to be addressed when they happen so that our voices are added to the mix of things that are said. And so while, you know, we hope our views on civil rights comes through in our shows each week, there are times when we think it's really important for us to repeat ourselves clearly. Teresa and I find the repulsive, hate-filled actions of racists who may call themselves anything they fucking like, but a turd is still a turd even when wearing a tux and carrying a degree. We find their actions deplorable. It goes without saying that parenting is incredibly hard, and it's hard putting the little things into perspective so the big things like respect and kindness don't get lost. It's hard not turning away or letting behaviors that seem like nothing now pass when our guts tell us it's not okay. And it's hard trying to explain the awful things that people do so that our kids can recognize it when they see it. But what is not hard is telling our kids that they are loved every single day and that all people are equal and deserve our respect and should be good listeners. And if you feel helpless when bad things happen, you can start with just that and by being an example of kindness. So we just want to put that out there, guys. That's you can start really small in your own house, mm-hmm. Okay? And you're all doing a really remarkable job at all of this. Okay? Teresa, you are doing a remarkable job.
Thanks, Biz. So are you.
Thank you. And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye. Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues, got to low down mama blues, you know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, our producer, Kara Hart, Our husbands, Stefan Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, are perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all of these horrible things. And of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org/onebadmother. For information about live shows, our book, and press, please check out onebadmotherpodcast.com.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, go to MaximumFun.org/donate.
Well, Daddy, baby, fussing by, got low down mama blues. Oh, said Daddy, baby, fussing by, got low down mama blues.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.